text for this evening to Psalm 65. We are continuing in our study of the Psalms. This is intended to be a brief Christological study of the Psalms, so we will not go into a lot of details. It's intended to give us a flavor of what the Psalm teaches. Psalm 65, to the chief musician, a psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy temple. By terrible things, in righteousness, wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Amen. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of his sacred word. Now, Psalm 65 is a very familiar psalm. I suspect that it's very familiar to most of us who have sung the psalm for a while, because of the very lively theme of this psalm and the lively tune that we normally sing this psalm to. This is the first psalm that breaks away from the previous 12 or 13 psalms, which have a theme of persecution, a theme of grief and sorrow, and a need to turn to the Lord for his help and strength in the midst of great difficulties. This psalm is a psalm that is filled with joyous praise, while the previous 12 or 13 psalm springs out of a heart that is heavy and burdened. This psalm overflows from a heart filled with joy and gladness, gratitude unto the Lord. It is a psalm of joyful praise unto our great God, the great God of our salvation, and a great God who blesses us. What should we praise our God for? Well, this psalm gives us three reasons to praise him. First, we should praise him for his salvation, verse 1 to verse 4. Secondly, we should praise him for his mighty power, verse 5 to verse 8. And finally, we must praise him for his provisions, verse 9 to the end. Consider the first stanza, where we are called to praise God for His salvation. Verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. These are familiar words which we have sung over and over again. But what does this mean? Well, Zion was where the temple of God resides. Zion is the place where true worship and praise was daily being offered unto God. Zion was where vows were paid. But earthly Zion has given way to the heavenly Zion, the Church of Christ. For as soon as the stone which the builders rejected was made head cornerstone in His resurrection, so soon did the old temple begin to cease its former function. Zion today is not located in Palestine. It is located everywhere in the world. Where the citizens of heaven are, there the city of God is. And there, praise awaits. Like runners at the start of a race, poised, waiting to run at the drop of a hat. Praise are ready to burst forth from the heart of God's children in Zion. There, in spiritual Zion, vows are also being performed. Nay, more than that, there in Zion, the vow is being performed. Notice that singular, the vow in this psalm. What is the vow? The vow is the one vow that makes all the other vows possible and meaningful. It is the vow of the man whom God has chosen to live and die for the redemption of His people, in order that they might have fellowship with God, in order that they might glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It is the vow that a people should be saved. It's a vow that the people should be saved. Saved from their sin in order to serve God with their praise and with their life. And that the people are rejoicing in Him and praising God, this vow is being fulfilled. The vow of this man, chosen of God, is being fulfilled. This one man opened the way for us to approach God at His throne of grace. It is by him we may confess in verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Our God is a prayer-hearing God. But He does not hear the prayers of everyone. Solomon reminds us that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. But there is none upright, there is none righteous, no, not one, not amongst fallen men. How then can we come before God? We can come before God because Christ our Lord made it possible by taking our guilt upon Himself. So that all come unto Him in repentance and confession of sin and faith in Him may indeed have the assurance that their prayers will be heard, because they know that their sins are taken away, nailed to the cross of Calvary, forgiven, forgotten of God. Christ our Lord paid for our transgression by His blood, so that our transgressions are purged away, clean away from us. Notice the representative principle in verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgression, thou shalt purge them away. Our iniquities, our sin, were imputed to him who gave us this psalm. For David writes in the spirit of Christ, By his blood, our transgressions have been purged away. Our transgressions have been removed from us. Blessed be this man, and all men united to him. For by him we shall enjoy the praise and worship of God forever and ever. See this in verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Who is this man whom the Father has chosen? He is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect, chief cornerstone of Zion, as Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. It is in union with him that all believers shall be satisfied with the goodness of the Lord's house. That is to say, it is by him that we might enjoy all the blessings of salvation and of worship and of joy in the Lord. Beloved brethren and children, do you grasp what this psalm is saying? If you do, then your heart should be ready to praise the Lord. If you do, then the very thought of this goodness of God in saving us should leave us poised to be ready to run the race of praise. As we confess with the psalmist, praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord. We must praise him for our salvation so rich and free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must resolve to live the Christian life that is founded upon the Lord. Sometimes even to resolve by way of personal covenant before the Lord, by way of vows before the Lord, so that you find, though our translation give it as, the vow be performed, and it is indeed a literal translation, you find in our Psalter, vows are paid, because it's that one vow of the Lord that gives way to the rest of the vows of God's people. As we seek baptism, as we are baptized, then we come before the Lord and say, Lord, I am thine. I am thine. I belong to thee. I will serve thee. I will walk with thee the rest of my life. In Zion, that vow of Christ is being performed. In Zion, the vows of those united to Christ are being performed. In Zion, praise is waiting for God day by day. But now we must also praise God, not only for salvation so rich and free, we must praise God for his mighty power, as the second part of this psalm reminds us. Verse 5. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth past the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. God is a prayer-hearing God. We saw that in the first stanza of this psalm. It is for this reason we must praise him. But he's not just a prayer-hearing God. He not only hears, but he answers our prayers. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. Verse 5. Now, God does not answer our prayers according to our desire, but he delights in doing so And it would be a great dishonor to God if we come to Him in prayer for anything and doubt that He can do it. No, no. God is almighty. He has power to answer our prayers. Wherever we may be, whatever our prayers may be, so long as it is in accordance to His will. As we come to pray in faith, believing that He's able to hear our prayers, our Lord delights to answer our prayers. Now take note when we say we must pray in faith. It's not pray in faith that that thing will be done, but faith that God can do it. When we pray in faith, what prayer in accordance to God's will, then He delights not only to hear but to answer our prayers, often in accordance to our prayers. He will answer, we are told, in His righteousness, according to His righteousness, and in His power. This is what is meant by terrible things, in awesome deeds, and in righteousness will Thou answer us. God's power is displayed in the creation of the mighty mountains and in His calming the boisterous sea. See that in first part of verse 7, just as the Lord demonstrated His power in calming the sea when He says, "Peace, be still." So that power is the power of God that He displays for us. His power is also manifested in His ability to bring peace from war, or to still the tumult of the people in an instant. Where man fails to bring peace, God can bring peace in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yea, indeed, this power is manifested even unto the uttermost parts of the world through the great wonders of nature. As we are taught in verse 8, we think of lightnings and storms, we think of earthquakes and volcanoes, we even think of the simple processes of sun rising and sunset, which this verse is referring to. Do not all these things call forth praise in the heart of man? Even those who do not know the Lord are awed by the display of His power and are sometimes moved to worship whatever they perceive to be the source of the power. But as believers, we know better. We know that power belongs to Him, the Almighty God, as we saw in Psalm 62. We know when we saw the great things that bring awe and wonder to our hearts in nature, that these things are brought about by the living and true God, who is our God and Savior. So when we see the sun rise and the beauty of the sky and things brightening up, our hearts are lifted up to praise Him who is the Creator. When we see the sun set and the whole sky glowing, what arises in our heart but praise for Him who is the living and true God? When a thunder is raging, when a thunderstorm is raging, and we see the flashes of lightning, and we are awed by the sound, the sight of it, what arises in our heart but praises for Him who is greater than this mighty display of nature? For this reason, Our Lord is the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea. Verse 5. Who are these? These, no doubt, are those who know the Lord, wherever they may be on the earth. They may be exiled in a foreign land, or they may be sailing in an open ocean with no sight of people or land. And yet they may trust in the Lord and hope in Him. So too for all of us. Is there any one of us who feel like you have been driven to the ends of the earth? Is there anyone who feels that you are being tossed to and fro in a high sea? Remember that the God we serve is the creator of the mountains and the sea. No mountain is too great that He cannot overcome. No sea is too rough that He cannot stop. No tumult against man is too great that He cannot still. The Lord can bring peace. He is the God of peace. And your mediator is the Prince of Peace. Go therefore to the Father in the name of your mediator, and you will find peace and rest in your soul as you put your trust in Him. And then praise Him. Praise Him for His mighty power. Praise Him as He fills your heart with confidence and hope in Him who is Almighty God, who answers your prayers in His righteousness and power. And praise Him that He is He who provides, which is the final part of this psalm. Verse 9, Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when Thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness, and Thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Amen. That is a wonderful picture, isn't it? As you read this, you must picture the hills, the rolling hills, the rain falling down, and the waters rushing down the side in little streams, and the mist and the grass growing up green and lush, and the corn being fruitful down the valley, land flowing with milk and honey, is the picture that must come to our mind as we read this portion or sing this portion of the psalm. Now Israel was an agricultural people, and it's for this reason the blessings of God is described in these terms. They understood all the material blessings that they receive as coming from the Lord. He is the one who provides the rain and the sunshine. He's the one who gives bountiful harvest. He's the one who makes the flock healthy and prolific. He is the one, not a farmer, not a shepherd, not the earth, who deserves the praises of the people when the year is crowned with goodness, when their paths drop with fatness. Now today we are not an agricultural people. How do we appreciate this first stanza? Well, we must appreciate it by understanding that God will provide everything that we need, both temporal and material, as well as eternal and and spiritual. In fact, the reference to the river of God in verse 9 should lead us immediately to understand that the emphasis of this psalm is not really the temporal and material, but the spiritual and eternal. The picture given here is that of a barren dry land, rendered fruitful by the bountiful rain that God sends and by the river of God and the rivulets that comes from it. Both the rain and the river of God signifies the Spirit of God and the spiritual blessings that He brings. God's children must look to God for the spiritual blessings that He brings to the congregation of His people and to the life of every individual believer. We must look to Him to do a mighty work in our church. We must look to Him to do a mighty work in each one of our lives, so that each one of us may live the Christian life to the fullest. The Christian life is not just one that's full of sorrow, full of pain. It is one that has peace and joy in the midst of trials and tribulation and difficulties. The Christian life is a life of knowing God. It's a life of having fellowship with God. It's a life of enjoying God and glorifying Him. It's a life that is made possible not only by the blood of Christ shed on the cross, but by the Spirit given unto us, who works powerfully in us to make us citizens of heaven, whose eyes are set on that eternal home, whose joy is not dependent on circumstance, but dependent on Christ, our God and our King. And so we must look to Him, beloved brethren, to do a mighty work. We must pray together and we must pray individually that the Lord will do a mighty work in our lives, that our Christian life may not be a mundane one, but one that knows true spiritual enjoyment. And we must pray that the Lord will give us reasons to praise Him when He pours out His blessing upon us corporately and individually. Our beloved brethren and children, let us learn to praise Him. Praise Him for salvation so rich and free. Praise Him for His mighty power in answer to prayers. Praise Him for His provision for His people, not only temporal, but eternal. And as we praise Him, let us learn to ask of Him, believing that He is perfectly able to hear and answer our prayers. Call unto Me, and I shall show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not, says the prophet Jeremiah. May the Lord help us to pray and to praise. May He so hear our prayers that we may have reason to exchange our prayers for praise individually and corporately as a church. Amen. Shall we sing this song?